morning, good morning, good afternoon. It may be even good evening to you this morning. Y'all get up this morning and clap your hands. The songs say when the praises go up, blessings come down. Just you woke up this morning is enough to praise the Lord because you were blessed with life. So we just gonna say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. We give him all the glory. We thank you for joining us this week. We thank you for coming to our executive meeting where we put God first. He is the first in our life. He is the head in our life as we sit at his table and break bread with him, our daily manna, and drink water where we will never thirst again. We thank the apostle and first lady for granting us this opportunity, for keeping this platform, for going forth so God's word, his work can be done, not their work, but his work. So good morning to each and every last one of you. Canada, we say good morning to you. Kenya, we say good morning to you. Nigeria, Jamaica, we're not going to forget about you. Fiji, we're not going to forget about you too. All the people that's on this line that has chosen to partner with us, we say thank you, and we want you to continue to know that AVM loves you, and this is why we're here, to be a blessing. So as I sit here and keep my motor going, I want you to keep your motor going too. And remember, when the blessings go up, when the praises go up, blessings come down. So again, we just thank you on this beautiful, terrific Tuesday, tremendous Tuesday. Whatever T you want to put in front of this Tuesday, you do it and walk out today. Start your day with an expectation that something great is going to happen. It may not have happened yesterday, but you still have the expectation that it will happen today. You may be looking for a miracle. You may be looking for a healing. You may be looking for deliverance. Whatever it is that you have cried out to the Lord, look for it with an expectation that it will come. Do not push it back on the back burner. You still get up. You don't have to keep asking for it, but get up looking for it. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have a new beginning. God grants us new mercies. And in these new mercies, look for the sunshine. You may be in the darkness. Look for the light. Whatever it is, you may be looking for something big, but look for something small. Whatever it is, know that God loves us unconditionally, and he will do what he says that he will do. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Please bring us up in prayer.
Good morning, Evangelist. First of all, I give honor to Jesus Christ. He's the head of my life. And I give honor to Apostle Johnson and the teacher, First Lady, and to each and every one of you all. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you once more, I'm going to let you know how, God, we thanking you for another day, hallelujah, just another day's journey, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for a beautiful day, God, that you allowed us to see, God. I realized you didn't have to do it, but you did also. So we say thank you once more, God. We say hallelujah to you, God, because we realize, God, you do all the glory and all the praises due to you in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you how you just watched over us all last night and up to this day, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your strength, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. God, we ask that you create in us a clean heart, Lord. Hey, glory to God. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, God. Chill our heart, God, that no hallelujah, that no hikoboshe get in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you this morning, God. We ask that you be a mind regulator for us, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you this morning, God, with all our heart, mind, and soul, in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you, Lord. We lift up the Maria families up to you this morning, God. Oh, God, we pray, God, that you give them strength to become little Moshe. They go through in the name of Jesus, God. Let them know, God, you don't make no mistake. How the little Moshe, God, because everything you do is through the little Moshe, God. No matter what, the kind of little Moshe is good, God. You know what it is, God. So we say,
say thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, even for the journey that we go through with hurt, disappointment, God, but yet and still, God, we say thank you. We thank you even when we are sick in our body, God. Let us continue to praise you, God, in the name of Jesus this morning, God. We thank you for the shout over our head, God. It may not be that we want it to be, God, but let us say thank you, because we realize somebody don't even have a shout over the head, God. We thank you for the food that you supply in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you this morning, God. We can't help but to thank you, God. You've been good to us, God. Down through the years, up to now, God. You've been gone, God. Death could have came, and took us away, God, in our sins, God. Oh, but you didn't come. So we say thank you just for that, Lord. Lord, let your perfect will be done, not our will, Lord. Your perfect will be done in our life. In the name of Jesus, these things we ask. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, we pray this morning. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to you, Lord. We thank you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Mother Jackson, for just a beautiful prayer, the words that came out of your mouth. I just thank you for that, the confession, the what you put out in the atmosphere. We thank you for that. And I want to stop there today. I want to put a pinpoint there today. The things that come out of our mouth, the power and death in the tongue, but there is power. The tongue can bring you life or it can bring you death. I don't want to talk about the death part because, see, this is the thing. Minister Chiquita and I was talking about this just the other day, and we were talking about how our lives change when we take away the negativity. When you replace the negativity and you put it into positive things and you sit back and you pay attention, it may be the little things that you may see first, but see, we like to look for big, large things. I want to see the small things because, see, when I see the small things, it lets me know that I'm on the right track. If I see big things all of a sudden, I may get a big head. If I see things, so I look for the small things, and the small things is when you can have a conversation with somebody and that whole conversation is just positive things, positive if it's talking about their family, positive if it's just talking about their way of life. And what we chose to do was we chose to talk about some people that made some life changes in their life because of the positive. Every day we're going to go through some trials and tribulations. We're going to go through it. That's why we have no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every word comes up against us shall be condemned. We know that. But because we know that, we have to get into a place where we reprogram our mind. That's why in the scripture it says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. But before we renew the mind, we have to ask God to create in us a clean heart as David did. David spoke a spoken word. He confessed a spoken. He asked, he petitioned God to create in him a clean heart because of his past sins, because of his sins that he had did. But he didn't sit and linger on the sins. He asked God to create in him. The words that came out of his mouth was a word asking for a change, not to continue to stay in the same place. See, the heart is what speaks to the mind. So once you ask God to create in you a clean heart and renew your mind, then there's a different mindset going on. And then it's a practice. It's a practice. In life, we want to do everything. We want to be on the expressway. Over in Germany, they have what they call an Autobahn where people could just drive, as fast as they want to do. They just drive as fast, and that's how we try to take life. But sometimes we have to, especially when you're asking God and you're practicing the process of changing your
speaking, changing your tone, changing what's coming out of your mouth. It's something that has time. You have to put time and effort in it. A lot of times we just go to talking and not realizing what we're saying. But when you get to the point where you're thinking about what you're saying, you're not moving so fast, you are putting thought behind what's being said, then it will help you get into the place of realizing what you're saying. And I want to move from there to go on to Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was born, and his mother gave him the name Jabez, which meant sorrow, which meant pain. I don't know if that's how his mental, he grew up thinking that he was a person that just caused so much pain, his name. And back in those days, names did mean something. But Jabez was to a place where he wanted to prosper. He wanted increase. He could have went before the Lord and said, I caused my mother pain. I'm a terrible person. They say my name means sorrow. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm so depressed. I don't know what I need to do. Anything could have came out of his mouth. But it didn't matter what people or what his name meant at that time. Jabez cried out to the Lord. And what he said to him was, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt me. And guess what? God granted his request. Jabez did not let his circumstances of life, a name, change who he was. He did not allow his circumstances to keep him in a place where people could remind him of what his name was. Jabez cried out to the Lord and asked him to enlarge his territory, to continue to protect him. He asked to be prospered. He wanted prosperity in his life. He wanted a change. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory means I may be in this place right now, but I'm asking you for a bigger border. I'm asking you for a bigger place. I need more capacity and space in my life. I'm not trying to stay in this same situation, this same circumstances. See, that tells me that Jabez had to sit and think about it. Whatever his situation was in the past on this day that he cried out to the Lord, it was a change of heart. It was a change of mind. And that's why it's so important that we do go to God in prayer. And when we say to him, Lord, create in me a clean heart, we mean it, because the heart is the first place. The heart is what's going to travel up to the mind and tell you. But if you have all of this negative thinking, as Pastor James would say, going on that's deep down rooted, that's what's going to come up. And that's why it's so important too for you to speak the words to God and say, Lord, deliver me from this situation. Deliver me from this ugliness. Deliver me from this unforgiveness. Deliver me, Father, for having these crazy thoughts. Deliver me, Father, from the malice that's inside of me. Deliver me, Father, for always wanting to do this or to do that. That's anything that's not of you. Deliver me, Father, so the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, will be acceptable to you. And let's go on. In Isaiah went to Hezekiah, and he told him that the Lord said to get your house in order because you're going to die. And that's in case you want to look at it, it's in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, and it starts at verse 1. And basically he told, because Hezekiah had became deadly ill. He was on his deathbed. And the prophet Isaiah went to him and told him, thus said the Lord. It wasn't what Isaiah said. It said, thus said the Lord, set your house in order. when I sit and I hear, set your house in order, I feel when somebody comes to me and say, set your house in order, they're telling me to get myself together. They're telling me I am my house. To get my house, I am, they're talking to me. They're talking directly to me to tell me that the things that's not of God, if you are out of his will, to get in his will, the things that you need to go in and you need to do a deep cleaning of your home. You need, and your home is you. You need to do a deep cleaning. You need to sit and take a magnifying glass if you cannot see the things with your own eyes or hear what you're saying, what you're speaking, or doing the different things with your hands that may cause you to sin. You may want to get a magnifying glass, or you may want to get a second opinion, or you may just want to be real with yourself and go and look in that mirror and start calling those things out. See, that's where the power comes in. When you can be so mature in your life and start calling those things that you know is not of God out, and those that you don't know, that's when you ask God to help you in that situation. Lord, identify the things that I don't know. And one thing I know that I had to do, because a lot of times things being our subconscious, and I start asking God, show me what's even in my subconscious. Show me what's even in my subconscious. So when I come to you, I can come to you in a conscious state and be very careful with the things that's coming out of my mouth. Because once I blurt them out, once I tell you, I don't want to talk about them again. See, I want to deal with the life portion of it. I don't want to talk about the death portion. I no longer want to talk about the old Shanifa. I want to talk about what God has changed. I want to talk about the creating me a clean heart situation. But in Hezekiah's case, God told him to get his house in order. That means he needed to get some things straight, because surely you will die. Hezekiah heard what God said, but Hezekiah, according to scripture, turned his face to the wall, and he cried out to the Lord, reminding him of the thing. See, when I read it, it did not say, because if you go back and you read about Hezekiah, it was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that wasn't of God, and God had put the warning in there. But Hezekiah went back to God, and he reminded him of the things that he did do. He reminded him of the faithfulness with him. And God, before Isaiah could leave out the courtyard, God had changed his mind and added more years unto his life. I don't want to say the exact amount of years because I may be wrong, but he added more years to his life. See, Hezekiah could have got to the place where he started talking about or reminding God of all the things or the different things that God had told him to do that he did not do, but Hezekiah had to sit there and think about it and tell God about the great things that he did. And that's where you and I mess up a lot. When we go into prayer, God already knows exactly what we do, when we're doing it, and how we're going to do it. We don't have to keep reminding him of our mess. You don't even have to keep reminding yourself. Once you identify it and you speak it out and ask God to fix it, then you need to leave it there. But your trust and belief have to be in God that he's going to fix it. You cannot, I was told this 3 months ago, you cannot keep confessing a thing or saying that this is what you want God to do, but then you come and you pick it back up. And every time I had to sit and think about that, because every time I pick it back up and I go back before the Lord, I'm saying the same thing over and over, that I should have been past. I should have just been like Habakkuk, sitting there on his post waiting for God to give him the answer. And then he write it down, make it plain. He write it down. But we will continuously go backwards and forward, like a teeter-totter. the little teeter-totter seat that you find on the playground where one person go down and the other one lifts up in the air. That's exactly what we do. But I'm here to tell you today from the two scriptures that I have just brought forth, and then I'm going to turn it over to Minister Chiquita. We don't have to be in that situation. All we need to do is confess or ask God to create in you a clean heart, renew your mind, and bring those things out that you know that's not in the will of God. Once he cleaned them up, once he brings them to the forefront, and then you start receiving a deliverance from those things because you're making a conscious effort to make sure that you're not doing the same thing. You're not saying. The saying part is the worst part. The saying part can put us, and we sit and talk about hell, but the saying part can put you in hell. It can put you in hell. And before I turn it over to you, Minister Chiquita, let me get this brief testimony. When I told them on Sunday when I was praying for my son, when I went into prayer for him or whatnot, and I started praying and I started decreeing, it was the boldest prayer that I had ever made in my life. I heard the snap. I heard the change. But I refuse. Most people, when they sitting and they declaring or they going against or they're in the warfare, they always identify Satan. You know what I told them? I'm not even going to identify you. Because, see, every time I identify you, I speak your name. I'm acknowledging who you are. So as of today, you are a nobody. If I do talk about you, you are a nobody. Because I don't want your name coming out of my mouth. I don't even want you to think you have any type of fame in my life or in my family's life. But I had to sit and I had to think about that. It was something I had to think about when I go into warfare. I'm sitting here, I'm talking to him, and I'm telling him, you have no authority. You did. No, I'm not acknowledging you. I'm not acknowledging you. I'm speaking to God. Because God is the person that's going to be the give me victory. God is the person that's going to conquer. And I'm going to tell you, whoever is on this line, if you got a situation going on, God is going to be the person that vindicates you. Not Satan. We give him too much pull. And I had to think about this. I had to kind of pat myself on the back and say, see, your thinking is changing. The process that you're going through is working. Because I don't want to get into a point where I'm identified. I don't even want you to think that you are doing anything. That's why the words that come out of my mouth need to be acceptable to God. The words that come out of my mouth need to speak life. The words that come out of my life would transform me from being one person and take me into the person that God predestined, that he created me to be. Over to you, Minister Chiquita.
Good morning, Evangelist, and good morning, Saint. Thank you once again for tuning in. What are we doing in our life right now to where we can truly ask God to come into our life, to renew our spirit? What are we doing to not allow that? We got to want, like Evangelist said and like Apostle say all the time, put yourself in front of the mirror and subject yourself to go through that shaking and go through that pressing to allow the things to be removed out of you that's not of God. See, saints, we get complacent in our life with the things that that's got us thus this far because we've been comfortable. And you can't get comfortable in your spirit when things are complacent and you see there's stagnation and things not going right in your life and you don't understand why they're stuck that way. It's because you are not aligning yourself with God. You're not continuing to keep yourself in alignment with God. You're not cleaning yourself out. You're not removing things of God out of your life so God can replace the things in your life that you need for your growth. Your spiritual growth, your financial growth, your mental growth, your health growth, and in anything, whatever it is you're calling God to create a renewing in you, a renewing in your spirit whatever it is that you're praying for him to renew, your health, your mind, your prosperity, your finances, whatever it is, you have to get into alignment and be in a place to where it's going to be, you're going to be able to accept what he's pouring into your life. You want the renewing of the heart, but you got to get the bitter and the anger and the jealousy and the discord out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your spirit. You want a renewal of your finances, so you got to get a control of your spending habits, control of your savings, get you a financial planner, get you a financial plan. You want a renewal of your health. You have to eat right, follow your doctor's orders, take your medicines the way you're supposed to, get you a good regimen, renewing of your household. You want to get your household together, your physical household and your spiritual household together. Clean your house up. Get things in order. Remove things you don't need. Have your garage sale. Clean up the inside of you, your spiritual house. Get the things up out of you that's not of God so where he can continue to pull in you and you can be in the best, blessed place. You won't be stagnated in life. You don't want to keep going around and around the mountain. You don't want to continue to be stuck to where you just trying to figure out why things are not coming in for a whistle. You feeling like God is not hearing your prayers, and it's not God not hearing your prayers. It's you're blocking your own self. You have to be careful when you pray that you're not what you're praying against. You're not the hindrance that's in your life that you like, God, please, God, remove this devil. God, please remove this. Make sure that you're not the one that you're praying against yourself. So you have to make sure that you are removing things out of your life and you're staying in alignment of God so that things can come to fruition in your life. So you can be able to open your mouth and God hear your prayers once they go up and your blessings can come back down. So you want to stay in that pure state. You want to keep your mind, your soul, and your heart completely on God so you can continue to stay in a renewed place. You don't want to continue to keep getting renewed. You're supposed to stay in the presence of the God, of God every day. Once you wake up every morning, that's a refreshing right there, knowing that you're in God. You don't want to continue to be getting into a place where I have to come before God. I need to renew a God of this God. I need you to renew this, oh God. God, no. You have to come to the point where, God, I'm with you, God. I know you're working with me, God, and you're working these things out, oh God. The renewal that you've created in my heart, God, has got me to the point where, God, I'm standing strong before you, God, and I'm totally wholehearted believing, and I'm declaring and decreeing, like evangelists say, for the things and the order that's in my life right now. I'm declaring and I'm decreeing right now. There's no devil in hell that's going to stop what God has anointed and God has appointed in your life. So please get out of the mindset of thinking that anything can stop what God has manifested and God has truly, what God truly wants in your life. The only thing can stop it is you living out of your purpose, you staying out of the will of God. So saints, stay in the will of God. Continue to be in your blessed place, which is continuously seeking God's face, staying in the will of his presence, fasting, prayer, reading the Bible, studying, doing your own, not just right here on the line every morning. And when we do our studies on Tuesdays and our studies that we pop up here and there, your own personal studies with God. Spend your own personal time with God one-on-one. Let him know how much you love him. Let him know you're trying to understand him more. Let him know you're trying to clear the things of you out that's not of him and replace it with things of him. Back to you, Ben.
I want to capitalize on one thing that you just said, Minister Chiquita, that you said to tell the people, for the people to do, is to let God know how much you love him. And in order to do that, it does come in with your actions, but it's nothing wrong with you speaking the words out of your mouth all throughout the day or any time that the Holy Spirit urges you to do. And you know what? We owe him so much more than that, than saying the words, I love you. That's why the action has to go into place with your words. Your words have, your actions have to line up with your words. And that's one thing that I love about Jesus. See, if it wasn't for Jesus, you and I wouldn't be here having this conversation today, because we would have been killed ourselves a long time ago with our actions and definitely with our words. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he went there with a sorrowful heart. He was depressed. He was
just he was full of everything that he was getting ready to go through. He already knew the assignment. He knew the assignment. He knew that this one, that one day that he was going to be persecuted, hang on that cross for you and I, for we can be into a place that we can continue on to have eternal life. We can obtain salvation and be in the will of God. And that's why I say we owe him that I love you. We owe that I love you. But in scriptures it says to love me is to obey me. So that discipline has to line up with those words that's coming out of your mouth. They have to be acceptable to God. You can speak whatever you want to speak. You can say whatever you want to say. But if your actions are not lined up with it, then it means absolutely nothing. Words will fall on deaf ears. Where Hezekiah, when he spoke to God, apparently they didn't fall on deaf ear. Because one thing I know about my God, he's an internal, he's a God that looks at our heart. We know that because he said that David was a man after his own heart. And we know the story about David, a murderer, an adulterer. We know all of that. But that does not, that what God showed us in that situation, that yes, it happened. Yes, he asked for forgiveness. But he also stated that he was a man of his own heart. And that means that God, that David's action is what came in together for God to change his heart, to creating him a clean heart. Where Hezekiah cried out. He didn't talk about the old things. He might have talked about the things that he did, but he didn't remind God of all the things that he had did before. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, take this cup away from him. But he quickly said, let thy will be done. See, Jesus went before the Lord, and those words are the most powerful words to me in the Bible. Because not only did he speak the words, never one time did you see when you read the accounts of Jesus carrying the cross that he was battling against the people. Hallelujah. Never once when he was hanging and they was crucifying him and they put the thorns on top of his head or they nailed him to the cross, did you hear him saying, God, Father, take me away? He said, no, Lord, they know not what they do. See, the words that spoke out of his mouth has me and you into a place today where we're at today, where we're able to prosper, where we're able to make a transformation in our life and change and show God what you did for me. Hallelujah. What you did for me, Lord. I appreciate you. I have a heart of gratitude. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm thankful, so let my words line up with my actions, because Jesus, his words, even though at that point in time, he didn't want to go through it anymore. He knew the agony. He knew the pain. He knew what he was going to suffer. But his ending words in this scripture was to let God's will be done. And this is why it's so important for you and I know for me, for us to work hard. We strive daily to remain. Once you have, if you dedicated, rededicated your life, work hard to stay in that life. You can sit and think. That's why I say with the subconscious, you can think something and it can cause you to sin. And then those words come right out of your mouth. And you can't take words back. You cannot take words back. Once they are out, you cannot take them back. You can sit and ask a person to forgive you a million times. It's up to them if they're going to receive it. That's why I sit and say to you all, let the words that come out of your mouth be power. If you don't know what to say, sit and tell the Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I don't have an answer. Even if you're in a tough decision, I don't have the answer. Will you please speak for me? Because I'm in a rage right now. I'm in a place of confusion right now. I'm in a place, but I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to sin because you already said, Jesus already went before me and saved the world. So I don't want to keep just throwing, turning my back to him. I want to sit and be in a place where I'm showing him that my actions line up with my words. And that's where you and I, it's so, so important. It's so important to think about the things, about what you have to say. I remember my stepfather used to always sit, when we used to get in trouble, we used to sit and say, I thought. He said, that's why you're supposed to think and not thought. So you think about things. It's so important for you to put the action. Thinking is an action. Speaking is an action. But to couple it together, you put the action, the actual act of what you're doing at that point in time with it, and boom, you done set off a fire. You done set off a fire in the Holy Ghost because you have gotten into a place where you have conquered the little things in life. And one thing about God, we always looking for something greater. He's not going to give it to you until you can show him that you can deal with the things that he's already gotten, given you. Stop. Stop always talking. Stop feeding the death in your life. Jesus died on the cross for you and for I, for everybody that's over this, on this line. It does not matter where you're geographically located. He bore the cross for you and I to be into a place where a change can take place. You need to ask God to change you, to creating you a clean heart, and let that clean heart wipe out, like Minister Satita say, do a yard sale and get all that stuff out of there. Some of us may need to sit and get an internal washing because we can't seem to see things, or we can't seem to get it right until after we've done it. It's like, uh-oh, but it's too late. Why continue to go through the same thing over and over? Why? Even when people now come up against me, and this is something that I can sit and do a Holy Ghost dance. Apostle Temple say he don't know what I be doing, but how do he know I be doing something? When you come up against me, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? When Jesus was on the cross and they did whatever, he said nothing. So guess what? When you come up against me, even if you call me and it's a certain situation or whatever, guess what I have to offer? Nothing. Because I value the relationship that I have with God. I'm not saying with man. Understand the words that's coming out of my mouth because I want them to be acceptable to God. Father, I value you and I relationship, our intimate relationship. I value our prayer time. I value our praise and worship time. So nothing is going to separate it. Ask me that a month ago, I would have failed. But when God brings tests towards you, you have to have a conscious mind to realize if you're going to pass it or you're not. So what I put before me is Jesus hanging on that cross, has already paid the cost for me, has already said, could have aborted the mission, could have just sat and said, I'm not doing this. These people are not worthy. They're doing this. They're sinning. They know what you've shown them through the Bible. You've given them the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. I done gave them a sermon on the mount in the New Testament. They keep doing the things that they're doing, saying the things that they're saying. I don't want to do this. Lord, let thy will be done. I decree and declare on today that many of you, if not all of you, will get into a place where you just surrender and you ask God to help you. You ask the Holy Spirit because he's here to be your comforter. He's here to be your guide. Stop trying to do things on your own, invite him in and let him know this is too big for me, but I'm ready to go to the next step. I'm ready to go to the next level. I'm ready to even show the people who feel like that I would never make it, I would never amount to anything, that because I abide in you and day by day I'm constantly asking of you to take me to a higher level, to bring me closer to you, that it is done. See, you notice I'm asking, I'm speaking these words to God, and I'm to a place where I think so cautiously that I'm able to stay and my words line up with my actions. I pray that everybody, some people may sit and say, oh, I'm not in this situation. This today was, you know, not something that I needed to hear. We always need to hear it because we all fall short of his glory. There are days that sometimes our things are so overwhelming in our life. There may be people in a place of depression. There may be people on a verge of trying to commit suicide and speaking death out of their mouth. They need to be reminded that Jesus said to take this cup, but then came back and said, let thy will be done. They need to be reminded that thy will was done. Hallelujah. They need to be reminded that thy will was done. That's why you and I have new mercies every day. So as today goes on and forevermore, ask God to help you let the words of your mouth be acceptable to him. I remember when I was, I used to work for Unicor, and it was on the phone lines, and you could say, calling different people, and you could sit and say one thing to them, and you would lose that customer, and everything was based on how many calls you made. You had to make a certain amount of calls at a certain time, and you would get points, or either you would get fired doing it. It just overwhelmed me. It just overwhelmed me because it was something I wanted to do. In my captivity, it was the highest paid thing to do. So I wanted to do it just to show that I could do it, but I kept failing the situation. And just, I went start going through the Bible. As I was reading through the Bible, it came across me, let thy words be acceptable to you. So I started asking God every time I would plug in, Lord, let thy words be acceptable to you. And that's where I'm at today, 12 years later. I'm here today, back there, saying, Lord, let thy words be acceptable to you. Very careful, very cautious, in a place where I'm learning to settle down and pay attention to the things that's saying. And I want to say this to you all. Your words may be coming acceptable to God, but it's also what you're taking in your ear gate. If you're taking something in that you know is not going to be acceptable to God, it lingers in your subconscious. So you may have a tendency to go and start allowing that to resonate in your mind, and then you end up breaking that words be acceptable and start getting into areas that you don't need to be in. I pray that, Minister Chiquita, did you have anything else you need to add before we close up? I pray that the Lord has blessed someone today, because every time from when I thought about it on Sunday and I think about it today, he has blessed me. He has given me more enthusiasm. I'm more enthused about making sure that the things, the words that come out of my mouth line up with my actions. It's making me slow down and look at things. And also, when you get into that type of place, it brings structure into your life. I can't leave without saying that. It brings structure into your life. You things start coming to you clearer, and you able to, your performance may even get a little better into the things that you're doing, even if it's just around your house. So I sit and say to you all today, get your house in order, and as you are getting your house in order, ask God to remove the things that can come up that you can speak out of your mouth and put yourself in a place that you wish that you wasn't. Stop speaking the death things that can come out of your mouth and start speaking life into your situation, as Jabez did, as Hezekiah, who his life was extended, as Jesus, hallelujah, spoke life into, he granted us, he put us in a place where we can have life, not just life, but eternal life. We love you, ADM loves you, but God loves you best. You all have a terrific Tuesday, and just think about the things. Don't be so hasty. Sometimes you have to tarry. Tarry. Think about the things that you're going to say. Think about it, because sometimes when you say things, it may hurt you later down the line more than it may have hurt that person. But because you jumping and you saying things, or you so defensive, or this is what you used to know. You've asked God to create in you a clean heart. No, you've asked him to renew your mind. So those things are passed away. You all have a great day. God loves you. Peace.